So we're just going to jump right into the passage today. We're in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28. It says, "A false witness will perish, but a careful listener will testify successfully." Art Linkletter had a tragedy in his life, and it literally drove him to his knees. Now, who is Art Linkletter? For those of you who think you're too young to remember, I've got a video. It may jog your memory a little bit, but you've definitely, more than likely, seen him. Do we not have the audio? Here, I'll tell you what. I want you to hear what he's saying so we can just pretend that's not happening. One of the few times technology is great. All right, let's try this.
"I'll bet you before you came down here, they all gave you orders today, didn't they? Very important before you come on a coast-to-coast show. Paula Brown, what did your parents tell you?
To keep my legs together.
Somebody in a storybook, you know, like the stories you read about, who would you be?"
"I'd be Papa Bear because I could eat honey and Goldilocks would be sleeping in my bed."
"Roxanne Burns, what's your favorite Bible story?"
"About the wine."
"Where? Where did it happen?"
When Jesus was born.
"When Jesus went where?"
"At the wedding."
"At the wedding. What did he turn, what did he, how did he make the wine?"
"With his power."
"Out of what did he make the wine?"
"Water."
"That's right. Now, when Jesus made the water into wine at the wedding, that's the story. What do we learn from that story?"
"We learned the more wine we get, the better the wedding is."
All right, so hopefully between the visual there and that, you got a, did that jog some of your memories a little bit? Do you know who he is? Maybe, maybe not. All right, hang on a second. There we go. All right, so Art Linkletter, in the story about his tragedy, he's talking about, he's in this interview talking about his life. And in the story, he was telling about this time where he was with some young people in a hotel in San Francisco, a dozen or so young people. And so he said that they all got down on their knees to pray. And so he got down on his knees to pray with them. And he said he was looking around to make, you know, hope no one would recognize him down on his knees. But he said, I wasn't down there but just a second when I no longer cared what anyone else thought. Because Art Linkletter said during this interview about his life, he said, "Up until that time, I was very self-sufficient. I didn't feel like I needed anybody." Here's a man that for 40 years on television, on screen, on stage, entertained millions. And he said, "I didn't think I needed anybody." And he said, "I thought of myself as a pretty good person." But he said, and I want you to listen to this phrase, he said, "I was a cardboard Christian." In other words, I was a fake. There was nothing real on the inside. But he said he had found a reality. And I want to speak to you today about reality. Because if there's anything that the world is hungering for more now than ever, is people being real. Now, I want to tell you something. This church or any church will only reach people if they can come here and they can get a sense of reality. People are tired of hypocrisy. They're tired of playing games. They're seeking a reality. They're feeling deep down that they want to come across a Christian somewhere out there that actually believes and lives out the things that are coming out of their mouth. And all these people that they say they know Jesus, they want to talk to them. Not the ones who know about this Jesus, that they know Jesus. And these people that they know about Jesus, they've known about Jesus for years, but they're no different than them. Okay, so you go to church once a month, big deal. Not only do I feel like that's the general sentiment of non-Christians looking for that path, but I think it's the basic need of those cardboard Christians within the church. the ones that claim that they're on that path already, but if they are on it, they've only taken one or two steps. A cardboard Christian. Now, our text today speaks about that subject and actually kind of breaks it right down the middle. It deals with a false witness and it deals with a faithful witness. It deals with the fate of a false witness and it deals with the reality of a faithful witness. What's a false witness? So when I open up my concordance, and you all need a concordance, if you're actually going to study the Bible and do it properly, you need a concordance. A concordance shows us, like the word we're going to look at here in a second, false. It shows you that word and wherever else it's used in the same context anywhere in the Bible. All right? So let's do that now. We're going to look at the word false here. We go to Matthew 5:19. It's used there. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony is how it's used here, slander. Matthew 7:15. Watch out for false prophets this time. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Then we got Matthew 19:18. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony." I mean, we could keep going. There's a ton more references, but I've seen enough to come to a conclusion. But in order to reach that conclusion, what else do we need to do? We need to take a what is it that's false? Witness. So let's take a look at that word. Now, when we use our concordance again, we come up with John 1:7. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. And then we've got John 1:8. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. And then Acts 22:15. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. There's tons more references again, but it's clearly referring to someone who is supposed to speak the truth of what they believe to be true. So a false witness then would be a fake. It would be a phony, a cardboard Christian. Now, I want you to put your bookmark in Proverbs 21, or, you know, if you're using your phone, that's fine. Just, we can just go back to it. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7 now. Now, this is like the third week in a row that I've been drawn to this passage, so I think perhaps maybe it's time we actually start paying attention to what it's trying to say to us. This is a very, very sobering passage, and I want every church member to pay attention here, because one of the devil's favorite lies is to have you even be a somewhat below average attender of church, to have you believe a false witness and to not be saved and to not be born again. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now let me be real with you. Everybody that you know that's talking about going to heaven, that doesn't mean they're going there. I want you to let that sink in, because that could be you. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, there's false praying, you know, superficial prayer. You don't actually believe the things that you're saying. You're just saying it because you think that's what you're supposed to do. There are people that they seem to know enough to call him Lord, but they don't make him Lord. On top of that, there's false preaching or teaching. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? What do you think that means? And it's not just for preachers or teachers, all right? It could be anyone that might meet the qualifications of a cardboard Christian. You know, they sang on the praise team, or they know all the words to all those old hymns or even the new ones. They helped take up offering. They worked in the nursery. They ran the cameras. They were on the church staff. Lord, we did all these things. We tithed. We did it all. We were there when the church doors were open, when we could be. But in reality, you're a false witness. A cardboard Christian will perish. And one more thing about the end of that passage. He said, "Away from me, you evildoers." Let's look into that. Do you know who Jesus is calling evildoers there? He didn't say, "You who robbed banks, you thieves, or you who raped or murdered or abused the little children." I mean, obviously, the Bible says that those people will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But here in Matthew 7, he seems to be specifically talking to cardboard Christians. All right, so I think we've covered what a cardboard Christian is. Let's talk about the other side of that passage. Proverbs 21:28, the second part. But a careful listener will testify successfully. In John 1:18, we have this conversation that Pilate is having with Jesus. And these are Jesus' final moments. And this is how the conversation went. It says, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king," he then said, Pilate, right? So Jesus answered, he said, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world," and here's those words again, "is to testify, speak to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This whole book, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the voice of God, and you must hear him. But I have to ask, do you really want to hear him? Because the Bible is how you're going to hear God, and if you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to hear him. There's power in the Bible, power for counseling, it's profitable for doctrine, for rebuke, for repute, for correction. You want to know what's right and you want to know what's wrong? You want to get right and stay right? It's all there in the Word of God. There's counsel in the Word of God. Power for communion, John 15, 4 through 8. "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and ask, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So you want real? The mark of reality is that you're hearing God. How does God speak to us? First of all, he speaks to us through the Word of God, the Bible, through prayer, through others. One of the reasons you should be here every week, through the message. That's why Paul said this in Acts 5:32. "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." If all you hear is me this morning, you've not heard. I want to be so full of the Spirit that when I preach, you hear what God is saying to you. I want to stand behind the Bible so that when I preach, you're hearing what God wants you to hear. You must hear. A faithful witness hears. And then what happens? You will speak successfully. You hear that? A careful listener will testify successfully. A careful listener will speak. Now, we dare not speak until we've heard from God, but if we have heard from God, we dare not be silent. When we hear the message, we are to deliver that message. That is the mission we as faithful witnesses have been given. Romans 10, 14 through 15. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And like I said last week, that's what's wrong with so many preachers in today's churches. They're speaking when they've not been listening. And so what you have is they're getting things out of their own heart rather than what the Holy Spirit has said. And I'm not trying to hold myself up as some kind of grand example, definitely not. But I don't want to stand in front of you and dredge from my own well. Do you know what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:3? He says, "For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance." So I am just passing this along. I'm not the origin. I'm simply delivering the message I received. Jesus Christ himself set the example of this. Listen to what Jesus said in John 8:26. "I have much to say to you in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from him, I tell the world." Jesus said, "What I hear, I speak." Paul said, "What I hear, I speak." You know what the difference between a lawyer and a witness is? Paul didn't say, "We shall be lawyers about these things." He said, "We are witnesses of these things." Do you know what a lawyer does? A lawyer argues a case. Do you know what a witness does? He tells what he's seen and heard, right? How could you be a witness if you haven't seen anything? How can you be a witness if you haven't heard anything? God has not called you to be a lawyer and argue his case. He's called you to be a witness. And you can't be a witness unless you've heard. Again, a careful listener will testify successfully. I've listened. And since we're talking about being real, let me tell you why I know that so many people are cardboard Christians. Because they never speak. They never speak. You will never convince me that you have a real relationship with Jesus if you keep silent about it. Your silent relationship is superficial at best. And if you're just starting out, that's okay. Although those are usually the people you can't get them to shut up about Jesus because they're on fire. But unfortunately for a lot of us, that fire's long since been put out. How can you claim to follow if his purpose is not your purpose? Jesus said, "If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men." If you're not fishing, you're not following, or else I don't know how to read. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. How can anyone claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ if the purpose of Christ is not their purpose? Once again, a false witness will perish, but a careful listener will testify successfully. To hear is to speak. To know him is to say, "I can't be silent. You won't shut me up." One of the ways that I know that it's real to me is because I want you to know what's in my heart. And what's in my heart is Jesus. And I want to share with anyone who will listen all that I can tell them about Jesus, everything that I know. And you say, "Well, obviously, Dave, you're a preacher. That's kind of your job." Okay, fair point. But I've been a Christian for a very long time. I may not have always been a good Christian, but there was never a time that I was ever ashamed to let people know that I followed Jesus. I may have gotten lost plenty of times, but he always led me back. So let me ask you, do you know if it's real? Your faith, is it real? Are you an exclamation point or are you a question mark? Are you a cardboard Christian? Then you're going to perish. I don't care if you're a member of this church. You're going to perish. A false witness will perish. And Jesus will say, "Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you." Have you heard him? Have you heard him enough that you want to share him? Is that what's in your heart today? Let me close with this. One of the things that's keeping people from an authentic relationship with Jesus, more than anything else, I think is this. We preach Jesus for 25, 30 minutes, which we should. And we say, "Do you want a relationship with him? If you do, then come on down and let's ask Jesus into your heart and let's get you baptized," and you receive him and you say, "Yes, he's my Lord and Savior and forgive me of all my sins, amen," and now you're a child of God. all right? That's usually how it looks. But let's take a step back from that for a second, all right? In Ephesians, it says Jesus is the groom, the church is the bride. Paul makes a statement that a man leaves his father and mother and is joined with his wife. The two should then become one. Did you know this is actually an illustration Paul is using for the church and Jesus? So let me put it this way, for the sake of making this less complicated than it has to be. When a girl walks down the aisle, and she's dressed in white and she looks amazing, she's actually making a very bold statement there. I mean, think about it. She's saying goodbye to, like, what, 3.9 billion other guys. What she's doing there is she's saying, this guy right here that's standing up front is the one for me. He is the only man I want for the rest of my life. Now, does that make her the perfect wife in a week? No. In the first year? No. The first 25 years? No. It just means that she's given every bit of her loyalty to that man. And she's saying by this act that she is breaking away from all past romantic relationships. And she will not develop any romantic relationships with anyone else in the future. And this works both ways, ladies. For you ladies, the guy's dressed to the nines, and he's making the same bold statement. But I'm a guy, so I'm going to speak from a guy's perspective. What a beautiful sight, right? Weddings are always beautiful. Now, I want you to ask yourself. You've got this young man, and he's dating this girl, and he looks at her, and he says, I am so in love with you. You're all I think about. And he gets down on his knee, and he says, will you marry me? What a beautiful scene, right? And she says, oh, I've been waiting for you to ask for so long. I do want to marry you. But, well, you know, I've been dating Steady Eddie. I dated him for 2 years. Steady Eddie was great, you know, and we had so much fun together. So I'd really like to just be able to go out with him maybe 2 or 3 nights a year, just be able to go out on a date and have fun. And oh, yeah, we can't forget about Ryan. We also had so much fun together. I'd like just 3 or 4 nights with him to be able to go out on a date with him as well. But that still gives me 365 days with you, days and nights. I mean, you'll always be my favorite. I'll love you more than Eddie, and I'll love you more than Ryan. Is there any man or woman in here that would say yes to that proposal? I hope not. Okay, so let me wrap this up for you. What is repentance? Repentance, true repentance, is when I say, when you come up here and you say, I'm breaking up with all of the things that drove those nails into my Lord's hands because I love him, because my loyalty is to him. I'm not going to embrace those things anymore. I'm not going to tolerate them. I'm not going to flirt with them. I'm done. So you make that decision in your heart. Do you miss it once in a while? Sure, if we're being real. Sometimes. But your loyalty for Jesus is so deep that you become heartbroken for having those feelings towards those old desires. Because you realize you're hurting the heart of the one who gave himself for you. So Jesus leaves his place to go somewhere that we can't even imagine. But first, he came into our world to save us by taking on human form. All so that he could offer himself as a sacrifice once and for all. A sacrifice for your sin and my sin. He knows he's going to be rejected. He knows he's going to be dishonored. He knows he's going to be despised and lied about, punched in the face, spit on, kicked and beaten. He's going to be scourged with whips that have fragmented bones and lead tips in them. He knows he's going to have thorns shoved into his skull. And by the time he even gets to the cross with everything they've done to him, you won't even be able to recognize him as even ever been a human being. He knows this is going to happen. And he still does it for one reason. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And some of you need to hear that this morning. Jesus loves you. But back to the bride and groom and tying it into Matthew 7 again. Jesus does love you. And one day he will come back for his bride, the church. But if we think he's coming back for a bride that hasn't been truly united with him in body and in soul, meaning you haven't given up and broken away from those things, that they've kept you from giving all of yourself to Jesus, then you're a cardboard Christian. I pray that some of you heard what the Lord has said to you today, and that you follow through on making some changes in your life to put him first again. If you're here today and you haven't fallen in love with Jesus yet, but you're curious, allow me to introduce you. Would you stand and close with me in a word of prayer? Dear God, Lord, we come before you now and we just thank you so much for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, giving himself and everything that he had to go through for us. I can't even imagine, but I'm so thankful. And Lord, I just pray that each of us who sat here today or heard this message at all, whether on YouTube or Facebook, that we take it to heart. We realize that it's you. Whether it's here in this building or through a screen, that you're talking to your people. We love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.